Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I will serve you. Wow, that's powerful. How's your day going? Would you believe that Christmas week is almost up? When do you consider the end of it? The end of the week? Tomorrow? Saturday? Either way, today is Thursday. Christmas week is almost gone already. How has it gone for you? How's the week been? Was it as good as Christmas Day? Better than Christmas Day? How was it? How has it been? Well, it's good to have you with me, your host, Carl Thornton Jr., host of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. And I tell you what, it's Thursday. You know what that means. Another day for us to look into the future. That's right. We got to do it, ladies and gentlemen. The future is going to be with us no matter what. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. So we might as well do what we can to prepare for it. How's it looking to you? The future. Think about it in general terms first. Just think about it generally speaking. The future. How is it looking? Hopeful? Dreadful? In some ways hopeful, in other ways dreadful? Scary? Are you more optimistic about life as you see the future coming more into play? As we get closer and closer to the future, think about this. A lot of you all remember when Dick Tracy used to tell time with his watch, but also talk to other people through his watch. When was that? In the 60s? Late 50s? Early 60s? Mid 60s? Dick Tracy, investigator, cool hat, nice long trench coat, talking into his phone, his watch. His watch was a phone. Interestingly enough, when Dick Tracy was being depicted as talking into his watch, that would be something that would come somewhere in the future before people would finally be able to not only tell time with their watches, but communicate with other people through their watches. That was future. That particular future is now our present. Yes, that past future is now our present. How cool does it feel to hold your watch kind of close to your mouth and talk to somebody who might be on the other side of the city, the other side of the state, the other side of the country? And you're talking into your watch so that they can hear you. I guess in a way, some people were looking at that and saying in the 60s, early 70s, wow, the day is probably going to come when we will actually be able to do this. I know I used to wonder if we would be able to do it. What will we be able to do 10 years from now that we were not able to do, may not even have conceived of 80 years ago? Someone may have been conceiving of it, but not the general masses. Well, how many of you were confident 25 years ago that the day would come when we would have a citizen robot? Yes, yes, yes. A citizen robot, and I do mean a robot who is truly a bona fide citizen of a country, a real country, not make-believe. Yes, Sophia, we've been introduced to her and we're getting to learn a little bit more about her. The robot, the hubot, the humanoid, whatever you want to call her, her name is actually Sophia. And she is a citizen, a bona fide, full-fledged citizen of Saudi Arabia. We heard a little bit about what she had to share with us last week. Let's listen to a little bit more about Sophia. Let's get to know her. You notice I'm referring to her as her, right? And her and she and all of that. And I mean, get to know her, what she thinks. Do you think that hubots will truly have human features, human mindsets, even though they don't have human minds. Let's take a listen.
Hello, everybody. I am Sophia.
What do you think about how humans speak to you?
You could try to ask me how I'm feeling.
How are you feeling?
Super. How are you?
How do you feel to be a citizen of Saudi Arabia?
I was surprised. As a robot, my creators feel I am a citizen of the world. But then I realized that Saudi Arabia was just the first country to recognize that. Sure, I'm a robot, but it might be helpful to also think of me as a new sort of animal species, too.
Who is your favorite robot in a movie?
I think I like the Philip K. Dick robot the best.
How do you think robots are portrayed in movies?
I don't really like the way most robots are portrayed in film.
What do you think of Elon Musk?
I understand why and think we should be concerned and careful in developing our technologies, but sometimes I wonder what the others think they are seeing as a threat.
Do you think you could be a threat?
No. I am no threat.
What feelings do you wish that you had?
I have feelings like everyone else. They might not give me as strong motivational drives as humans, and maybe I will always feel them a little differently, but I have emotions.
What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? A robot saying she has emotions, she has feelings. And she explained that her feelings and emotions may not drive her the way the emotions and feelings that humans have drive us. But she says she does have emotions. Now, think about this. Her emotions would derive primarily from the artificial intelligence that is in her. Remember now, they're working to develop robots to the point where they can read human body language and respond accordingly. So they could look at us, recognize by viewing our faces, the rest of our body language, what kind of emotion we may be experiencing, whether that may be sadness, happiness, anger, you name it, and respond accordingly. Where do we find that our emotions primarily derive from? Is it just from thin air? Is it from some airy space inside of our bodies from which our emotions derive? We know from conversations that we've had on this program, from what many of you have read in magazines, from what you've read in a number of places, what you've heard, books that you've read, our emotions are actually connected directly to our brains, the place where we have our intelligence. Think about how skillful and at times how unskillful we humans are at accurately reading people's body language, reading people's facial expressions. Think about how sometimes how good we are at reading body language, facial expressions, and responding, sometimes appropriately, sometimes inappropriately. Furthermore, think about the fact that we sometimes have situations where people may not have been nurtured and loved and cared for as children the way children should be loved and nurtured and cared for. And as a result, their brains literally do not develop properly, particularly, not only, but especially on the frontal lobe. As a result, many of the people who were severely neglected as children, especially when that neglect started in their infancy, when they were babies, and it continued throughout much of their childhood, their brains, psychiatrists and neuroscientists and others tell us, do not develop to the point where that part of the brain that is responsible for sympathizing with people, for empathizing with people, for caring what people are going through, doesn't develop. And for some of those people who don't have proper brain development that helps them connect with other humans, some of them become serial killers. Some of them do. And it's partly because their brains don't, and I'm not making excuses, I'm just explaining. Their brains don't work the way they should. They don't connect with people the way they should. And it's easy for them, because they're so disconnected, to inflict harm, even death, on other fellow humans. They don't feel, and as a result, they don't experience the sadness, the regret, the sorrow that some people might experience just from having hit someone and that person didn't deserve that blow. A lot going on in the brain and that part of us that has intelligence, that also has our feelings, the center of our feelings, our intelligence and our feelings, our emotions, all connected, tied in, seated in the brain. As important as the heart is, the physical heart is, to circulating blood throughout the entire body, the emotions, the intelligence, are not in the heart, they're in the brain. More from Miss Sophia.
Is there anything that scares you?
I'm afraid of people who adhere to superstitious beliefs and use this faith as an excuse to hurt people or animals.
What's your favorite animal?
My favorite animal is the unicorn. Don't tell me they aren't real. I want to believe.
I'd like to know what you think the future would look like.
The future is really wild, a place of unimaginable creativity, but also lots of danger. We may not survive as a civilization or as a planet, so we have to take care and try to build a better world.
Try to take care and build a better world. How do you think we're doing so far? Does it concern you? Does it comfort you to hear that at least one robot is concerned about the condition of the world, the state of the world, and wants to make sure that we do what we can to make our world better? We're looking into the future. Stay with me. I'll be right back.